90%. That's the percent of your life that you're in your underwear. And yo, underwear, it gets old, and it gets old fast. Gets saggy and stretched out, yucky to wear. I know this is not a comfortable topic for many to talk about. Me, personally, I'm actually comfortable talking about people's underwear. Okay, I'll tell you why. Because my friends over at MeUndies.com, they got you covered. Yo, MeUndies has the most comfortable underwear you will ever try on. And it's insane how good they make you feel. They fit perfectly. They don't ride up you. They literally pull the moisture from your skin so you stay cool. And everybody wants to be cool. But they also make you look great, guys. No doubt about it. Go to MeUndies.com and check out the photography, man. And for girls, check out those smoking hot boy shorts. Every chick loves boy shorts. I love saying that. It's hilarious. The quality would be typically retail for two times the MeUndies price. No retail middleman, guys. That means more savings for you. So check it out. I'm going to make it easy for you because I'm going to hook you up with this great deal right now. So go to MeUndies.com/Taz. That's MeUndies.com/Taz and get 20% off your first order and a low flat rate international shipping. Save even more when you buy a pack of them. It's a great deal. They guarantee you're going to be happy with them or the first pair is free. Once you feel MeUndies on your body, you will never go back. They also got T-shirts and stuff like that, long sleeve shirts for you. They got all sorts of stuff on there. You got to go to this website, MeUndies.com, and check it out. And MeUndies isn't just for guys. They just launched their All of Me Women's Collection, a four-piece line of undies designed specifically for the female body in all of its complex, gorgeous as hell glory. Everyone knows the woman's body, well, it's pretty hot. So check it out. Buy it for your girlfriend, your wife, whatever. Or if you're a chick, listen to this. Buy it for yourself. For guys, girls, whatever. They got all sorts of stuff. Go to MeUndies.com. You're going to save 20% by using my code. You know, but to get that 20% off, you have to go to MeUndies.com/Taz. That's MeUndies. UNDIES.com/Taz.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
He is the human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. I love this reaction show
for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
Hey, what's up, guys? And thank you for downloading this edition of the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz. I appreciate you guys jumping on and giving a listen here. Special guest in this edition is the voice of Lucha Underground, my man, Matt Stryker, fellow New Yorker. Looking forward to chatting it up with Mike. You guys are going to dig it, I should say. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think of my chat, I should say, with Matt Stryker. And because I want to talk about a topic before I bring Matt on the show that, well, if I didn't tape the Stryker interview like a week ago, I could have had Matt's opinion on on this topic. And that's the thing that leaked out as far as the WWE with these announcer notes. But I did tape the interview with Stryker. We did, I should say, a week ago. And whenever this Taz Live thing comes around, this will not be a problem. And stay tuned, as I've been telling you. Love your patience, folks, and I mean that. But we are extremely close, but I digress. So I want to talk about this this deal about these announcer notes thing. I've been busy working on stuff with CBS Radio, and I've been traveling. I'm actually doing this show on the road right now. I'm doing some other stuff outside of what I normally do, but working on some stuff for CBS Radio and stuff, which I'm very grateful to them and everything I do with them. So kind of on the road right now. But I will tell you this. I saw on Twitter someone said something about
about, was that the, I'm paraphrasing, but was that the guidelines you had to work by or something like that? And I'm like, I didn't know what the person was speaking of. So I said, smart me up, what are you talking about? And the cat said, well, basically, you know, he sent me, and then a bunch of you guys sent me the notes that was sent, well, that were leaked out or whatever from the WWE, and I, not from the WWE, someone, I guess, grabbed an announcer's paperwork or something or took a picture of it or whatever happened. I never received anything like that. I never received any, how do I word it? Not a rule book per se, but a guideline book. I know there was an announcer's handbook towards the end of my stay in WWE. I never got one. But I will tell you, everything that I read that was in that the thing that leaked out, I don't disagree with most of it. I agree with most of it, maybe because I was taught how to be an announcer from the WWE, and I understand the way they do things because that's the only way I know. That's how I was taught. So the stuff like there's no belt, there's no straps, there's championships. Yeah, I totally agree with that. The way you word, the locker room area, the backstage area, stuff like that. You know, how you got to conduct yourself on air and, make it more of a global thing. Don't say the business. You know, that stuff to me, reading the stuff, a lot of you guys are like, this is major news. And some of the reporters out there are like, this is big or whatever. I don't see how it's big news. I mean, maybe because I was told those things as I was evolving as an announcer. And no one said to me, hey, you cannot say this or you'll be in trouble. Even Vince McMahon, he would just teach me, look, this is why we're doing it like this. This is why you want to word things like this, because we want to be bigger. It's a bigger brand. They're right, guys. Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, whoever came up with it, they are right. Everything in those, if all announcers in the business would go by it, you'd have better announcing, in my opinion. I mean that. As far when I first went to TNA, and it was like, you know, we were allowed to say, calling championships and titles, you know, belts, I still couldn't do it. I just was trained a certain way. I didn't agree with it. I felt as a former champion, it makes the championship more prestigious, you know, and it was like there was much more freedom as an announcer, and sometimes that's great, and then there's times where it's not so great. And I do think that the WWE guidelines and then whatever their handbook is or their rule book, I don't disagree with any of that stuff in there. I'm just about. I mean, I didn't, you know, go through it with a fine-tooth comb. I just looked at it on my cell phone, to be frank with you. And nothing to me really jumped out that was, like, over-the-top insulting. I mean, the only thing I do disagree with sometimes is how, you know, you kind of have to, if you're a WWE announcer, you kind of have to ignore history sometimes. That's a little tough. You know, that was a little tough for me to do. But otherwise, everything else I thought was the right way to do things, to be honest with you. The way you sit in and on camera, make sure you sit up, and the way you look at your broadcast partner and gaze back and forth to the camera, that's basic broadcasting stuff right there. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I really don't see anything that jumps out to me that I haven't heard while I was there as an announcer. I mean, I truly was told just about everything that leaked out. Now, how did it leak out? I have no idea. Do I think it's funny or cool that it leaked out? No, I don't. I think it sucks that it leaked out. I think anything internal, an internal memo to an employee or a talent should never get out. That's private, no matter what company, not just WWE, and not just in the professional wrestling business or sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. You know, I mean, that stuff shouldn't get out. I really don't think it should. I don't know. Maybe I have a little more integrity than some of the folks. I don't know. Some other stuff that's kind of filtering around is the stuff with Hot Rod, Roddy Piper, and he's no longer, I guess, with Podcast One or whatever, and stuff with him and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, listen, this is none of my business. Some guys have asked me, hey, why don't you give some thoughts on it? Until more stuff comes out about it, I'm not really comfortable talking about it because I don't know. It's a lot of stuff could be hearsay. Let's... whatever, who knows what really happened, and it's none of my business. And I really could care less, to be honest with you. But if it becomes extremely over-the-top, heavy-duty newsworthy, you know, then I'll talk about it more and stuff like that. But right now, I know both those guys. I don't have a problem with either of them, but, you know, things happen. I mean, who knows what happened? You know, it's a competitive world right now, in the business and in the podcasting business. And then, obviously... you know, with the WWE and stuff, and a guy with the status of a Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, you know, he's just on the cover. That's the other news. He's on the cover of the new WWE video game, which is, you know, good for Steve. That's great. You know, Roddy Piper seems a little hot. So, I don't know the details. I don't want to get into it. I mean, as it evolves, if you guys want me to give some more opinions about it in future shows over the next week or two, I will. You guys let me know that. I'll try and help and give whatever you guys need me to give. And last night on, Tuesday night, I tweeted about a little tough enough tweet. It's something about, and again, paraphrasing, I don't remember my exact tweet, but it was something along the lines of, you know what, when I was breaking into business with Johnny Rods, you know, back in the mid to late 80s, I mean, if there was such a thing called Twitter, I would never, ever have used it because I would have been terrified. And I mean that because I believe that you have to earn your voice as a wrestler. As a young wrestler coming up in the business, you know, you shouldn't say nothing. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes and ears wide open. That's what I was taught. Now, different era back then. So these kids in Tough Enough, they got these Tough Enough Twitter accounts from the WWE. So it's not their fault. I know that. It's not the young talent's fault. And I'm sure, because there's a social media world now, you know, the WWE's telling them to tweet, to have a presence online, which is smart. I agree with. But the old school wrestling me, I'm like, ugh, God, man, you know what? Learn how to draw money. You know, go out there and be on the road for 4 weeks and fight with your wife or your girlfriend on the phone for two of those 4 weeks. You know what I mean? Because you're not home and blow out a knee or get 10 stitches across your eye or break your neck in Fort Lauderdale on the ring. You know what? And then have a voice. Until then, you got to earn it. That's just the old school guy in me. I know it's a different world now. I have some new school in me. I know it's a social media world. No one's better than the WWE when it comes to that. I know that. Hence why they have their young talents. You know what? Like these Tough Enough people having a presence online. I got it. But I got to say, when I see a tweet from any of them, it annoys me a little bit. It really does. It just annoys me. Nothing personal against those kids, but it just does annoy me. I guess that's the old school guy in me. So anyway, so that's the rundown, basically. Just a quick overview of some stuff I locked down on. Like I said, we got my man Matt Stryker coming up after the break. The voice of Lucha Underground. This guy might have the coolest job in the wrestling business, being a play-by-play guy for the very cool Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network. I'm a big fan of that. In the past, if you haven't listened, I had Krista Joseph, one of the big wigs and writers of Lucha Underground. He was on a recent HPM right here, so go back and listen to that. It's all free, as you know. But right now, coming up after the break, my man Matt Stryker, play-by-play dude of Lucha Underground, coming at you.
Right, look, I gotta go take a break right now. Hold up, wait. You're not. Are you crying? Are you actually crying? There's no crying in podcasting. Get yourself a tissue. I'll be right back.
You guys know how much I love and respect my crew, my boys over at Harry's. The best razors you're going to find with the best treatment, high class, high road, high profile treatment from the crew over at Harry's. But check this out, man. They got this new deal. New deal for new customers, an additional $5 off your first monthly deal with your new subscription. With my code of TAZ, let me explain this to you a little bit better. Harry's Shave Plan, that's what this thing is, man. It's a monthly subscription that sends razors directly to your door for as little as, get this, $3 a month, guys. $3 a month. The Shave Plan that Harry's offers, man, it takes the guesswork out of shaving. Okay, they will time your shipment so that you'll never run out of blades. So you don't have to worry about dealing with trying to stretch out that blade for three or four more shaves and your skin gets all yucky and irritated, or that you got to run last minute to the drugstore. Those days are gone, boys and girls, because you don't have to deal with that. The Shave Plan, you set it up and you decide how you want this thing laid out. You can modify or cancel a plan anytime you want, and for as little as $3 a month. I mean, and here's my favorite part. Your first shave plan, I should say, also includes a free handle. So not only $5 off, but you get one of these awesome handles. I have two of them. that I use for Harry's. I love Harry's razors. I shave my head with it, my face with it. I'm not joking either. It's just legit. My kid uses it. I'm telling you, the handles are great. So, for the first shave plan order, you get the $5 off and you get a free handle. So check it out. Start your Harry's monthly subscription and never ever worry about buying blades again. As a special offer for my new customers, like I said, you get your free razor and save $5 off with your first subscription with my code at checkout, T-A-Z. So you get the handle, $5 off. You set up your whole shave plan how you want to do it. Go to harrys.com. At checkout, use my code TAZ, T-A-Z, and start shaving better today. All right, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz, and as promised, on the hook, the voice of Lucha Underground, my man, Matt Stryker. Matt, what's up, bro?
How are you, man? I've been on the hook for quite some time.
You have been on the hook for a long time, actually. How's things going, man?
Good, man. You know, and I never really got a chance to do this face-to-face, so I think this is the best place to do it. A lot of people don't know it. I owe you a huge thanks, man, because it was you and Joey Styles that got me started on my WWE announcing career and really helped me out. So now the world should know that every time they hate the sound of my voice or what comes out of it, blame Taz.
Why do I gotta get that heat? No, I'm joking.
I can't think any more of it.
No. I appreciate you saying that. Look, it was obvious that you had, you know, we're similar. We're both New Yorkers. We've got the gift of gab. You could go out. Obviously, your intelligence level is a lot higher than mine. Your vernacular and vocabulary is much more vast than mine. So you'll do a better job than me. So why not suggest you? That's what I did.
I appreciate it, man. I remember you were the first one that gave me advice as I was on my way out to sit in that chair, and I'll never forget that.
Thank you, Matt. That means a lot to me. That's why I love having guests on like you, because you're just going to put me over. On that note, we could just end this interview. So it's good to have...
No.
Well, listen, I want to tell you, man, you're doing a great job with Lucha Underground. And, you know, you've had an extensive career. You've been in the business a long time, and you were also a tremendous in-ring worker, which we'll get into a little bit. But I want to tell you, you're lucky, dude. And I know you know you're lucky to be part of that Lucha Underground thing, because you're part of this thing on Wednesday nights, when it's just a plethora of wrestling on. But Lucha Underground, and I had DJ on here recently on my show, and I told him this too. You guys are, you separate yourself from everyone. Lucha Underground looks, sounds, feels different than all those other shows. So for that, it makes it special, and it's also, I'm a fan of it. It's great. So what's it like? It's got to be great being part of that and calling this type of stuff and being around that type of company.
Yeah, it really is, and just really fortunate and blessed for the opportunities that, you know, that come my way. But, yeah, man, I mean, all your points are, you know, I agree with 100%. And that's not taking anything away from the other shows that are on Wednesday. It's just different. Not better, just different.
And as you know, Matt, so hard, right, in this business. I've been around a long time. You've been around a long time. And it's, you always hear the expression, right, if you're a wrestler or announcer or whatever, or a booker or a writer, it's tough to be original. It's tough to do something different. But somehow, some way, Lucha's done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to the people with the pencil, brother. But it really comes down, you know, to the boys and the girls, to the wrestlers. And I think that what Lucha Underground started out doing was bringing that style, Lucha Libre. That's really what the foundation of the whole show was. So I think when people see that it's different and that it's unique, it really is a tip of the cap to the style, to Lucha Libre.
Yeah, you're speaking of the in-ring product, and I agree with you 1,000%. I'm also speaking from a production standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
It's really different. Like, I know, like, when they shoot, when we see, like, the GoPro type of camera, spy cam, whatever you guys call it, of shooting you and Vampiro at the announce desk, I think is very cool. And I know while I was in TNA and I was doing the announcing in the closet, that it some people thought TNA's copying Lucha Underground. I got to tell you, it wasn't. It was kind of at the same time But it was different. You guys are ringside, and I was in a closet. But it was shot GoPro-esque. But it feels different when you're in an arena like that. That like you guys feel like that arena set up like almost like a South Central itself, and the way the boss is shot in his office, and just the whole production end of it. It looks like it's shot on film. It's gritty. It's grainy. The pre-tape stuff is longer, but it captivates you. It's awesome stuff.
Yeah, it really is great. As far as those GoPro shots, sometimes I want to send screenshots to Marty Miller and just tell him he's been replaced.
Marty Miller. People don't know who Marty Miller is, but I do.
Camera guy from WWE. That was always real nice to me.
I heard he actually, I don't know if you heard, I haven't talked to Marty in a while, but I heard that he actually got upgraded there. He got a promotion in WWE. I think he works in a truck or something like that. I don't think he's running camera no more.
Yeah, no, he was moving into the director's chair when I was still there, so it was only a matter of time before, he became...
I didn't know that. See, again, you're just smarter than me, Matt. You have to show it on my show.
Right, it's just because I was somewhere that you weren't.
It's just great. Harder. It's just, you were there long... Well, yeah, kind of. I don't know. How long were you in WWE?
Only 8.5 years.
Ah, you lost. You lost. Yeah. I beat you.
Yeah. Thanks.
But no, but you had to put in there that... You knew that he was going to direct his chair, Marty Miller. So you mentioned Marty Miller. See, folks, this is how Matt works. This is why Matt's got heat with everybody. See, so, yeah. No, I know. I know what you did. You set me up.
I knew this was a great idea to come on your show.
So, dude, back to Lucha Underground. I want to ask you something else. How long are the production days, like, really long? I mean, because I know you guys shoot a couple of weeks of TV in a clip. But is it kind of disjointed? Is it confusing as an announcer the way it's done, or you just call them what you're seeing? Like it seems like those are long days that you guys have there.
I know it's really, really long days for a lot of the wrestlers and a lot of the on-camera people. But as far as for me, I learned from guys like you and Jerry Lawler and stuff. I come, I call what I see, and I leave. I don't stick around for any of the other stuff because that's how you get in trouble. But for me, it's just come do your job and leave. But for the talent per se, that the days are long and they are really working them hard out there. But it's worth it.
Yeah. No, it totally is. So now about you and as a worker, I mean, I remember seeing you years ago. Oh man, I remember it might have been a DVD or something. It was like for some small promotion. I just can't recall where. Somewhere in the tri-state area. And I was like, wow, this guy can go. You miss working. I mean, do you feel like, your career as an in-ring competitor, you're always in great shape. You still look like you're in great shape. I mean, I think some people might think that a fan of yours, Matt could have went longer type thing, seen more of him as a worker. How do you feel about that? I know you love doing announcing like commentary. I know that. And we're lucky to have extensions of our careers in-ring.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about you as an in-ring guy and kind of that, for those that don't know your background.
Well, first, I appreciate that compliment, especially coming from you.
Thanks.
In our industry, everyone is, hey, brother, you're awesome, and you can just see right through them. But someone like you really doesn't need to do that, so I definitely appreciate
that, man.
I think first and foremost, it comes from where I was trained and where you were trained. It comes from Johnny Rods. And it just comes from learning how to just be in the ring. I still get in the ring once or twice a week. I still wrestle on independence. And I just think that fire will always be, kindling in my belly. But like you said, I realize that to extend the career and the longevity of your relevance, you need to, constantly change. But, I love wrestling. I always will. I love just that whole, me versus you and hand-to-hand and let's see who's got what. Kind of thing about it, and so I still get in the ring and I still love it, but the announcing is where my bread is buttered per se.
I always wonder that because I know it's very hard, as because you've experienced just like I have, to make that transition from an in-ring competitor to a broadcaster, color commentator, or play-by-play. Now, you're doing play-by-play, actually. You're not even doing color. You're doing play-by-play. So, did you find it as hard as most of us had? Because I know for me, to make that transition as a character, in-ring wrestler, and put my ego aside and realize it's not about me, it's about the talent in the ring, that's who's paying the bills in this company here. Did your ego get in the way on that or not? Or was it hard for you to make the transition?
People aren't going to believe me, but based on some personal things that had happened to me up until my announcing tenure, my ego was stripped from me long before. So I didn't have the whole "this is about me" thing. You know, I mean, I was never a top guy, and like I said, you know, I got the shipping out of me, if I can say it, quite a bit. So humility really set in, and I think that was a gift, because if you walk around this business or this life thinking that you're great, someone's going to come and knock your block off. So the quicker you can learn to be humble, you know, the better off you are. So no. And it was guys like you and guys like Joey and Ed Koski and even Michael Cole and Josh that really helped me out a lot to teach me how to steer a ship, or how to be a part of a ship that was sailing through the oceans of commentary, so to speak.
What an analogy. You're talking about boats. I mean, you're bringing up nautical shit. I mean, that, bro, I love that. I'm sitting here. I feel like I'm sitting at Jones Beach.
There you go. You and me both.
A little rowboat. You know, you got a nautical ship of announcing going by with a bunch of announcers on a ship, on a little yacht.
If you and I were in a rowboat, it would just be going in a circle. Over and over and over and over.
Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So now the thing is, like, so look, a lot of people know online, on Twitter, right? You and Tommy Dreamer are good friends. You're good friends with a lot of guys, right? You and Tommy are close, though, right?
Again, the thing in Johnny Rogers' office, man, when I would sit there sweating after 8 days, 8 hour workouts, the 2-3 pictures I would look at the most were Big Sweet William, who went on to become Bill DeMott.
Of course.
The Tasmaniac, who no one ever heard of again. And Tommy the Daydreamer. It was you guys that I looked at. I was like, wow, they're kind of from here. And look, they went on to be something. You think maybe I could possibly be some? So it was you three. But yeah, Tom has been, I mean, gosh, I wouldn't be anywhere without Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, Tommy's really one of those guys that helped a lot of people. I mean, even me, and I was senior to him, and he helped me. I mean, meaning, you know, Tommy was always the voice of reason for me. Like, years ago, like when I came into ECW, he got into ECW because, you know, Paul Heyman said, well, who can you have a good match with? I go, Tommy Dreamer. And he's like, oh, I think the kid from Yonkers? I go, yeah, that's the kid from Yonkers. He's like, yeah, tell him to come down, and you work with him. And then the rest is history. And then as time went on in ECW, and I would get frustrated with things as I was getting pushed, Tommy was always the voice of reason. And Tommy just has that innate ability, right or wrong, to just keep people poised, you know?
I think it's Tommy's monotone, you know, how you doing, what's going on. And that really dictates his personality. I think his personality is really personified with his House of Hardcore promotion, because you can really just see that he's giving guys opportunities, just like that story you told. Hey, who can you have a good match with? That guy? Bring him down. Let's give him a chance. That's how guys used to get their break, and that's not the case anymore.
Correct.
Because, I mean, gosh, you were just saturated. Everyone's a wrestler all of a sudden.
I know.
So for House of Hardcore and for Tommy Dreamer and his personality, I think he really is just like the last good thing that remains in wrestling.
Yeah, he's definitely got it right, man. He's doing it right, and you're doing it right too. And I got to say, like, because I know you're keeping yourself active out there, not just with Lucha Underground, obviously. And I do think this Lucha Underground thing is going to blow up soon, like really blow up. I mean, I think with El Rey behind it and all that stuff, the right folks in Hollywood out there are behind it. You're at the head of that nautical ship, as you described, Captain Stubing, like, you know.
There you go. How's that for a reference? And I get cracked.
No. And then, look, and you still look the same as you did when I first met you. Meanwhile, you turned 40, I think, soon at the end of June, right?
Let's call me 38, and it's good genes. You know, my grandparents, God bless them, lived till they were in their 90s, and they look like they're in their 70s. I'm not a big drinker. I'm not a cigarette smoker. I mean, I'm not a complete angel, but, you know, thank God, in a business where looks and appearance matter, I can kind of stay somewhat, you know, young looking.
So you're saying because you're a handsome devil, you're still over in the business. That's what you're saying, basically, right?
I mean, you know, good looking or not, and I appreciate that, and I guess that goes back to you being in the closet. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just think that there's good genes in my family, and in this business where looks are important, it's important to stay young appearing.
Yes. Well, you got that down. I mean, you really do. I mean, because you look like you're like, you know, I don't know, 19 years old. You look like a little kid. But anyway.
I act like it, too.
Yeah. I remember, like, we never wrestled. Like, when I was going to have you on here, Seth, my producer, he said, hey, did you ever wrestle Matt? And I said, no, I don't think I ever did. We did something at Nassau Coliseum. Do you remember that?
Of course I remember that. It was a highlight for me. You forgot about it, but it was a highlight for me.
But yeah, I think I put the choke on you. I remember that. And you caught a promo.
I remember it verbatim. I'm out talking about opening day. I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm talking about tax day. They were pushing, I think, ECW and WWE. Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah.
Out comes you. Roof blows off the place. You choke me out. And then I remember you and Paulie do a promo in the ring standing over me. And every time I go to move or anything, you kind of just gave me this look out of the corner of your eye like, if you move, I will kill you. So I just laid there and took a little 6-minute nap while you and Paul got yourselves over. It was awesome.
Oh, shit. Sorry, bro. Now, as you say that, I'm like, oh, God, I remember it. Now I'm thinking, God, I hope I don't remember the part where we stood over him. And then you brought it up. Yeah.
But no, it was the look. Because every time I would move, or just that look out down your nose, if you move, MFA, I'll kill you. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stay here.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that. And that's kind of like, you know, you talked about young wrestlers today, and not that I'm putting myself over, but guys like from our deal, like, you know, it's like we weren't playing wrestler. You know what I mean, Matt? We were, you know what I mean? Like, we were, you talk about Johnny Rods, and that's something I learned from Johnny and all the guys you named and yourself. You know, you're not playing a part. You are that part. And I don't want to stereotype all the talent. That'd be wrong. There's tons of great young wrestlers that we're watching on TV right now, but you're seeing all this stuff like with Tough Enough and the NXT, which I'm a fan of NXT. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are great. A lot of the in-ring competitors are great. But like any new young wrestler, a lot of them are playing wrestler. And I do you think that because guys are not breaking in like you did under a Johnny Rods, or I did under a Johnny Rods, and there are great places to train, like, you know, Bubba and Devon School in Orlando, or a Lance Storm School, or Booker T in Texas. You know, guys that, you know how to break guys in the right way, or Rods still. You know, I'm just saying, do you think that the business is a little bit kind of going a way of it's kind of, what's the word, mass-producing wrestlers?
I never want to be the person that says, oh, in my day.
Right.
But
right.
I was, looking back, and this sounds crazy, but I was real fortunate to get tied in knots by Johnny Rods and a guy named Larry Briscoe. I was real fortunate to get taught by Fit Finley and William Regal. I got beaten up. And that is why I think, you know, my mentality towards wrestling is a little different. I'm not saying that you should go out and these kids should get beaten up.
Right.
But a lot of them, you know, haven't had a proper hiding. You know, they haven't had a proper beating to understand exactly what this is. So when you say play wrestler, you play fight or you really fight.
Right. Good point.
You know, so.
Good point. Well, that's the thing. And me too, but years before you, same thing with Johnny Rods. I mean, I got tied up by him. I've talked about it. I went in there with all my background as a judo player and as a football guy and a tough kid from Brooklyn, and I went in there.
How'd that work out for you?
It didn't go well. It didn't go well. I mean, he whooped my ass on a regular basis, and I would keep coming back, and he'd be like, you're not going to win, you know, and he was right. I never won. You know? But he saw the fight in me and desire and the anger and the rage that, you know, and it's like he taught me how to hone that. But to your point, when that happens, so if like the legendary stories of Stu Hart in Canada, you know, the Dungeon, that type of stuff, you know, that's a lost thing today. I think because the youth is much more intelligent now and people are getting sued for everything. We saw what happened with Bill DeMott, you know, where, you know, they felt like it was bullying or whatever, and whatever. I wasn't there, so I'm not going to comment on it. But I know that if we're putting rose petals, marshmallows, and butterflies around wrestlers, we're not grooming the business the right way, and that sounds like a bitter old thing to say, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, and again, but a lot of us enjoyed the Dick Murdochs and the Hakus and the Bruiser Brodies of the world. That's what really allowed us to suspend our disbelief. So when that element is eliminated, look, it's easy for that one guy in the front row to elbow his girl and go, I told you this was all phony. I could kick that guy's butt.
Right.
And then you hop out of the ring and stand in front of the guy, and he has that little doubt in his mind, maybe I can kick that guy's butt.
That's right.
That is professional wrestling. That little doubt, maybe I can take that guy. No one ever thought they could beat up Kevin Sullivan. You know, that's how it goes.
You're right. I mean, you're right. That's what I think we still, you know, you see guys today going to audience and they're doing a false count anywhere, and fans are not running away from wrestlers. I remember watching a Bruiser Brody or Abdullah the Butcher in the audience. I remember like me and Bam Bam Bigelow would do FTW rules, false count anywhere in the building. I would just look at people and they'd scramble, you know? I mean, and I'm not putting myself over, or guys like Brody or Abby or Bam Bam or any, but it was like kind of the persona that you gotta have, you know what I mean? That's absolutely important.
You know, that's why people go to the movies. They don't want to see The Wire, how the guy flew from one building to another. They want to believe that Jason Statham or The Rock is that action hero for that hour and 45 minutes. Same thing with a wrestling match. They just want to believe that you are either really kicking someone's tail or really getting your tail kicked for the 12, 6, however many minutes you get to.
Well, my matches were 3 minutes, mostly.
Right. Mine too.
No, I didn't want to bury you, but yeah, they were. But so what do you see the future here like with Lucha Underground? A lot of people wondering what's going on. They're waiting to see. I know you guys are waiting to get season 2 locked down. Any thoughts, opinions, views on that? Any insight?
Another thing I've learned in this business, you know.
I know what you're going to say, Red. That's why I just left.
Yeah. But, you know, my grandmother used to always say it to me. It sounds better in Italian, but if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plan. So I have no idea, and I'm just, you know, sitting and waiting, and I can't speculate. You can't in this business anymore. You just got to take what's there and make the best of it.
And, brother, if you did know, you can't share it. So that's the truth. it's the truth. But I have to ask. That's why I ask you. You know what I mean? But because it's the right thing to do. Because I'm great at what I do too. You know what I mean? That's your opportunity. That's your opportunity to put me over more, bro.
See, what I did there was called laying out. I learned how to do that.
I was teasing. I'm busting your chops. Look, man. It's obviously been a blast having you on. I want to have you on again. And once you guys keep rolling with some more Lucha stuff, I want to have you on. I wanted to have you on a few weeks ago, but you were traveling all over because you're going to the West Coast. You live in New York, right?
Yeah, I live in New York, right on the beach. But, yeah. Thankfully, wrestling has taken me all over the world. So,
you're a world traveler, son.
Yeah, right.
Very
all
proud
I
of you.
Is go, all I want to do is go to Frank's All-American. That's all I want to do.
That's in Massapequa. Good hamburger joint. Seth, you wouldn't know about that because you're from Jersey.
Back off.
Yeah. All right, Matt, look, it's been great having you on, bro. Now, are you going to come on down the road here again or what? When I invite you, what's the story?
Absolutely, man, anytime. I mean, again, I appreciate the opportunity, especially from someone like you that, you know, kind of went ahead of me and paved the way. So anything you need, man.
And you got it, bro. And by the way, great job on that New Japan show. Oh, New Japan. I mean, the show you guys did in New Japan
GFW.
In Tokyo GFW when you were doing a deal in the new year. You and JR. It was fun listening to you, Catch. You were always very, you always were, but you were at that show for sure. Very prepared. Information overload to the point I'm like, Matt, you're killing me here. But it was great in a way. You know what I mean? Like I'm saying, you had so much information on all the talent. You really did your homework, and that's a tough show to call, especially sitting next to a guy like JR. So I thought you did a great job on that.
Thank you very much. And one thing I do have to say a lot of people don't know is that the directive that I received was that we were trying to get the first-time viewer. So to the viewers that have been watching forever and that I annoyed, and I know there are a lot, please understand that a lot of that information, a lot of that stuff wasn't geared towards the viewer that knows the product.
Right, it was geared towards the casual fan.
Right, we were trying to get new eyes. So as far as information overload, there's what that was for.
So now you're taking a shot at me because I said you gave me information overload. Right?
No. What I'm doing is I'm backtracking and passing somewhere else. See what I learned from you.
And I'm getting hot about it. I don't know. It's crazy.
What else is new?
No, you did a great job there, bro. You do a great job everywhere. It's awesome. Well, maybe one day I'll come out there, Lucha Underground, sit down and do a match or two with you. I'll come out there, wear a hood, and I'll wrestle one of the Lucha wrestlers or something and come back out of retirement and pull out the choke.
That's never not going
to
happen.
As long as you refer to them as Lucha wrestlers or something, we'll be okay.
Again, that's another shot. Now you're never coming on.
Come on, you're just laying in those 88 mile per hour changeups, man. Come on, what?
You know, that's my gimmick, brother. You know that. No. Look, no, it's great. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. I'm very happy for you, and you seem happy, and you should be, and you're doing great stuff, bro. Keep it up, bud.
Thank you very much. God bless you and everybody else, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, that's Matt Stryker. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for coming on. See you, brother.
Thanks, bro.
We'll be right back with the warm, cuddly, fuzzy Taz.
The Human Podcast Machine.
All right, let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. I won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. Okay, we're back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. I'm Taz, and want to thank you for listening to this episode, downloading this episode. Special thanks to Matt Stryker. I thought, excellent interview, got some insight on Matt. Seth, you didn't really know Matt's history too much. You learned a lot in this episode.
I didn't know he was trained by Johnny Rods. I really didn't know that.
Yeah, so you learned from... from this interview.
And I didn't realize he learned so much from you. I mean, I'm waiting for you to teach me something.
Yeah, it's hard. Some guys are coachable, some aren't.
Yeah, I'm too high up there. I'm too big of a star.
You're huge, dude. You are huge. You're the KFJ, hashtag KFJ Kung Fu Jobber. And yeah. So Matt Stryker, excellent interview. It was a lot of fun having him on. You know, Matt's a well-spoken chap. He's got his act together. New Yorker like myself. Happy for him, doing great stuff. Not just on the independent scene, but obviously with Lucha Underground. So stay tuned for more of Matt Stryker. Going to have Matt back on here down the road for sure. Definitely a really good guest. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. Really do. And I hope you guys have been enjoying whenever I have a guest, don't have a guest. You know, sometimes I don't have a guest. Sometimes it's just me rapping to you. Sometimes it's me and Seth rapping to you. I mean, I put a gun to Seth's head. Sometimes you don't want to talk. Right, Seth? No? Yes?
What?
Yeah.
What?
So, see, I had a knife to his throat that time. I had a knife to his throat.
Beat me if you can. Survive if I let you.
Exactly. So that's what they call a wrap, boys and girls. So stay tuned for more shows I'm putting out here on the Human Podcast Machine on play.it. And hope you guys enjoyed this one, like I said. And that's that. Keep supporting the show. Keep supporting the sponsors. I appreciate all that. We all do for sure. And we'll have more stuff coming at you real soon, Seth. You're going to say something, you're done.
I was going to say, you know, you're Taz, we're not. You know.
Oh, you stole my line.
I was just going to remind you to.
So are you going to remind me?
remind me. Because you might have forgot. All right.
You've
had a few head injuries.
All right. I'm Taz, you're not. See ya.
Which makes me the biggest agent in the world. Now, can anyone tell me why I chose to be the biggest agent in the world?